today is hands-free driving day. Did you know that? Today is hands-free driving day. You got one, right? Y'all made preparations, right? Otherwise, you're going to pay a $50 ticket. How many want to pay a $50 ticket? Nobody. It's hands-free starting today, July the 11th. I'm sorry, July the 1st. Yeah, I'm on there. Okay, but I want to tell you something. It might be hands-free Sunday, but it's not heart-free. Yes, it is. I take that back. It is heart-free Sunday. By the way, somebody said it this way. They said, honk. It was on the back of a sticker on the back of a car. It said, honk. If you love Jesus, text if you want to meet him. No texting, okay? No texting. Hands free as of today. But wait a minute. It's not, and it is, heart-free Sunday. That is, I hope your heart is free to worship the Lord today. I want to share with you before we have our time around the Lord's table in just a moment. And I hope you're preparing. I know you've been busy. I know you've got things on your mind. But it's important that we come to the table in a right frame of mind. Do this, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. By the way, how many of you had things to go haywire with you this week? Yesterday, I'd worked about 8 to 10 hours. The Lord changed my mind about this message today, and so I began to prepare and then, in addition, develop a PowerPoint, this PowerPoint. And guess what? Got down here to the church, and after spending about 2 hours working on this PowerPoint, and got down here, plugged in my external hard drive in the computer down there, and the thing fell off. It's up under the table. Boom, it went haywire. And all that I'd worked on to put on together, the PowerPoint, it just erased it all. And there was no way to get it back. How many know I was a happy camper yesterday? Well, what do you do when stuff like that happens? Well, you know what I did? I just sat down there and developed another one for another hour and a half, praise the Lord. But anyway, and so here's what we're going to do today. All I'm saying is we can't let things defeat us. We got to overcome. We got to be overcomers. That's right. Things happen like this, setbacks and all that. But when we come to the Lord's table, I want to tell you there are three practices that you and I need to put into place if we're going to really have a heart-free Sunday. And here's what they are. I want to turn your attention now as we come to the table to a passage of Scripture found in the book of 1 Corinthians. Prepare your heart for worship today. The passage we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here's where we're going before we get around the Lord's table. Is the Lord, I just believe that God spoke to my heart about this as I was seeking the face of God. Lord, what would you have us to do? And I know that July the 4th is coming up, but so often we come around the Lord's table and it's just something we tack on. Or if we're not careful, we can begin to not really be focused. Or we can give God lip service, but really not worship the Lord in spirit and truth. In the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find out the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And in addition to writing to them, he was addressing a number of issues, of one of which was how they approached the Lord's Supper. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we're going to see that evidently they were not preparing their hearts like often we don't prepare our hearts, beloved. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you this week have been thinking about the Lord's Supper all week long? Probably nobody. How many even thought about it this morning? How many even looked at the table and thought, okay, well, we'll just have the Lord's Supper? Well, that's why I believe it's imperative for all of us. Hey, look, you're busy doing this, that, and the other. But my question is, are you in fellowship with God? Are you in fellowship with God? Oh, I'm busy. It's vacation time. It's summertime. I got this going. But are you in fellowship with God? And so as we come to the table, this is our focus, fellowship with God. And that's what the purpose of coming around the Lord's table is all about. So as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, I want you to note three heartfelt practices that you and I need to practice today as we gather around the Lord's table. What are they? Number one, we'll read the text in a moment. Number one, will you come to the Lord's table today and worship the Lord? Will you worship God? Will you worship God? Well, what is worship? If I don't know what worship is, how can I worship God? If my heart's not right, if my mind's not focused on God, how can I worship God? Ah, that's the motive of what we're doing today. And I believe it's my responsibility as your pastor to focus on us focusing our hearts on God. And so, number one, when we come to the table, will you focus and will you and I worship the Lord? Or will we come to the... Wait a minute, listen. Y'all look up here a moment. I looked it up this morning. Ecclesiastes 5 says this. Some people will come to the house of God and God will say, you fool. You fool. You hadn't worshipped me today. Read it. Ecclesiastes. Boy, that's strong language, isn't it? You fool. Ecclesiastes 5. So we can just skip in the house of God and yet not be really focused on the Lord. Right? Yes, that's indeed true. Number two, will you leave the table, not only come to the table and worship the Lord, number two, will we leave the table and witness for the Lord? We'll see that in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 26. Number three, will you come to the table today, will I come to the table today, and not only worship the Lord, verse 24, and not only leave the table and witness for the Lord. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time I witnessed to somebody? Oh. And number three, would I come to the table and listen to the warning of the Lord? God's got some warnings for us, beloved. We need to take them seriously. There's some warnings, brother. There's some warnings, sister, what he's talking to us today as a church. When we come to the table, there's some warnings. Make no mistake about it. Number one, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you'd like to stand as we read the wonderful word of God, you may do so at this time. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And here we read in verse number 23. Paul the apostle wrote to the church of Corinth and he said, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. I'm reading from verse 23. And then the apostle Paul described to the church of Corinth. He said, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Say that with me. This do in remembrance of me. One more time. This do in remembrance of me. Look at verse 25. And after the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup of the new is the New Testament in my blood. Do you oft as, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's why I derived that thing. Are we going to leave the table and witness for the Lord? Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Boy, that's serious. But let a man examine himself, so that he eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Many sleep. Wow, that's serious business. God said, I'll just turn your lights out. Really? I didn't know it was in that. That's really? Is the pastor, you telling us that this all this stuff is serious this morning? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. How many believe the Bible? It's in the Bible. It's what Paul said. It's inspired of a God. It's written to us today, beloved, not just to Church of Corinth. And then verse 31, for if we would judge, decrino is the word judge, that is, if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when we come together, eat, tarry one for another. Father, I thank you for your word today. I bless you, God, that you are a mighty God. You're a holy God. You're a just God. You're a sovereign God. You're a omnipotent God. Lord, you will not share your glory with another. You rule and reign in the heavens. And dear God, you said that one day all of your enemies will be made your footstool. I pray, Father, all of the distractions that we brought in today as we've gathered around your table, that somehow, some way, Father, you'll prepare our hearts. You'll prepare our minds. That, God, it would not just go through the motions. It would not just be haphazardly, just a commonplace of just, Lord, doing things that have no meaning or significance. Oh, God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us if a people have not, Lord, really recognizing who you are and who we are and who we are in you. And we come to celebrate, Father, at the same time. But God, I can't really celebrate until I really do an examination of my heart. And I pray, as your word instructs me to do, that God, you'll turn heaven's searchlight on my heart. And that, Father God, you'll cleanse me of every sin, all that's, Lord, complaining and unthankfulness and lust of the flesh. And dear Lord, Father God, of gossip and things that, dear Lord, grieve your spirit and quench your spirit. Lord, you know us. You made us. And we praise you now that you love us. And dear God, you want to be in fellowship with us. Teach us how to walk in the light. Teach me, Father God, how to have a heart for you. And dear Lord, I pray you wean us, deliver us from the evil one and the things of the world that crowd out our devotion, our time, our worship. And Father, teach us as a church, New Rocky Creek, and teach me, Lord, how to really worship you, because you are worthy indeed. You rule and reign, and you are on your throne. And we ask now that you draw us nearer to you. Oh, God, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for your power in this place. Thank you, Father, for the people that have gathered together today. We pray, God, there'll be breakthroughs and that, Lord, we'd worship you in spirit and truth, and that we'd turn our eyes to you, and that we'd lay aside everything that's distracting us in the cares of this life, and the things, our Father, that keep us from having a heart for you. And we give you glory now. For the privilege, hallelujah, the privilege of gathering around your table once more until you come. Put a burning passion in our heart to leave this place today. And as the two on the road to Emmaus said, they had holy heartburn. Oh, God, you're real, and I pray that you'll manifest your glory right now in every heart. We give you thanksgiving now. It's all about you. It's not about me, Lord. It's about you, oh God. Be high lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Hey, look, have you prepared your heart for worship? Number one, when we come to the Lord's table today, number one, will you and I worship the Lord? Will we worship the Lord? Look at verse 24. And he broke the bread. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Will we worship the Lord? Number one, will we worship the Lord? And then notice, when you leave the Lord's table, will you not only worship the Lord? Let's just stop right there. We'll go to 2 and 3 in a moment. But number one, will you worship Jesus? Will you worship Jesus? If I ask you what is worship, what would you say? Coming to church? That's just the starting place, coming to church. But look, Jesus said to a crowd, he said, you draw near to me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. I wonder this morning, God help me, God forgive me. I wonder how many this morning, just singing those songs from your lip service, not giving God heart service. Checkup time, checkup time, checkup time. Worship. Hey. I want to give you 7 words in regards to what worship is all about. I don't know if you ever heard this or not. There's 7 words, Hebrew words, that define worship. What is worship? And let's see if you're really worshiping today. Or are you just going through the motion? Well, it's Sunday, I got to go to church and going to church. I'm glad you're here, praise God. But we need a real time where we can evaluate, am I worshiping God or am I just kind of rushing here and there? Let me give you the 7 words. the first word, and we'll put them up on the screen where you'll have them. Hallel. Hallel. The first Hebrew word is Hallel. It's used 99 times in the Old Testament. 99 times in the Old Testament. It's parallel with the word Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say that with me. Hallelujah. One more time. You got by with it, didn't you? You know that's the universal term, Hallelujah. English, Spanish, Italian, it all means the same. Universal. Hallelujah. That's worship. Hallel. Number two. The second word is the word Yada. Yada. Say that with me. Yada. We'll see it in a moment. It has to do, watch this, with giving thanks to God. When we come to the Lord's house, are we giving thanks to God? That's what the word Yada means. Giving thanks to God. Come on in. Giving thanks to God. That's what the word means. Giving thanks to God. Yada. Number three, there's a third word as what it means as to when we worship God. It's not only do we worship God in Hallelujah, Hallel, and Yada, but number three, Barak. Do you know what that word means? Barak means to kneel down. Get on your knees. Question, when's the last time you got on your knees before a holy God? When? When? Have you ever gotten on your knees before God? Why not? Isn't he sovereign? Isn't he Lord? Isn't he a mighty God? You might not be able to get on your knees. If you can't, that's fine. At least your heart needs to be on its knees. A Hebrew word means worship, to get on your knees. I have a real difficulty with people say, bless God, Pastor, I'm not going to get on my knees. You don't have to. It's between you and the Lord. I want to tell you something, though. When we get on our knees before God, it, like old, I believe it was one of the preachers used to say, it tells you who's boss when you get on your knees. There's another word for the word worship. Are you going to worship today as a fool? Ecclesiastes 5, you fool. God said many people come to the house of God and you're not worshiping God, distracted. You're giving God lip service. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 15. Or are we going to say, oh God? Now I know some of you are saying, Pastor, this is strong. Well, my soul, it's time to stop nitpicking around and tiptoeing around the tulips and telling the Bible as it says it is. Too much of this cotton candy stuff anyway today, in my opinion. It's time to get serious serving God. It's time to get serious about worshiping God. He's God. He won't share his glory with another. Hey, wait a minute. There's another word. You know what it is? Tehillah. Say it with me. Tehillah. I didn't say tequila, all right. I said Tehillah. Tehillah. You know what Tehillah means? It means to sing and praise the Lord. Good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant. Praise is comely. There's a sixth Hebrew word. You know what it is? It's the word tada. Say it with me. Tada. It has to do with worship as well. Another word is zamar. 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 Z-A-M-A-R. Zamar. Say that word with me. Zamar. Where's Garrett at? You know what that word means? Play a stringed instrument. That's what the Hebrew word means. Zamar. Worship God with a stringed instrument. Interesting, that's in the Bible, Hebrew. Right. But wait a minute, there's one more word that I want to give you, and it's this word. I like this word. Shabbat. Shabbat. Can you turn me down a little bit? I may be a tad bit too loud. Sorry. Yeah, some people say they can't hear, but then I think I can hear, so I'm not believing. The word is Shabbat. Say that with me. Shabbat. You know what that word means? I like this word. I really do. And this will justify the pastor. And some people say, Pastor, you get loud, you get red in the face and all that. Well, I got loud for the devil, and I got red in the face for the devil. Hello, why can't I get red in the face for God? I think we ought to give God 100%. I do, 110%. By the way, I'm not trying to please people. It's just who I am. God takes a person's personality, all right? Just because you don't have to, all right? Be yourself. But wait a minute, Shabbat. You know what Shabbat means? Shout loud. I set you up for that one, didn't I? Shout loud. It's a Hebrew word for worship, to shout. And that's why I like to shout every once in a while and say, Hallelujah. I like to shout and say, Glory, glory, glory. Do you know that's a Hebrew word? It is. It's in the Bible. Shabbat. You say, but, and I know different people are different ways. But the point is, we need to worship God. Worship the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy. Come, are we going to come to the table to worship God? How are we going to worship him? Here's the words. I just listed them for you. Hallel, Yada, Tada, Barak, Tabar, Shabbat, and Tehillah. Here's the Hebrew words that indicate. Halal is the word for hallelujah. Say that name with me. Say that word with me again. Hallelujah. Say it again. I know you're afraid to say hallelujah because people are going to call you a fanatic. So what? Really? Let's get real, right? How many of y'all ever get emotional when you're watching a ball game and your favorite team wins? What was that game where Georgia played Oklahoma? I guarantee you there was some dogs fan. Look up here. You were shouting, you were hollering when on the exception of some of the Georgia Tech fans, all right? Anyway, or when the Braves played last night and won. When I got home, I looked at the newspaper. And some of you watch the game. There's nothing wrong with getting excited. But wait a minute. If you get excited about all those things and you don't get excited about God, there is something wrong. And that's my whole point, okay? If you get excited about deer hunting, shooting a monster buck, well, do it. Or catching a big old 15-pound bass, do it. Or getting a good yard sale, going to the shopping, and I just got a good yard sale, and getting happy about it, nothing wrong with that. But we ought to get happy about God, too, and thank God, and get excited about the things of God. Those of you who say, not me, that's fine, but you're going to have a heart attack when you get to heaven. I'm trying to warn you, you're going to have a heart attack. Heaven's going to be about praise, brother, and you might as well learn how to do it now. You might as well, sister, learn how to do it now. You think that it's going to be silent in heaven? You think that people are going to walk around and not say anything? No, no way, Jose. It's going to be shouting. There's going to be praising. There's going to be the street lined up with the angels of old praising the Lord day and night, singing holy, holy, holy. Hey, by the way, the word halal. Anybody ever heard the name? I know you have, Nancy. George Handel. The year 1741. Who's George Handel? He was 57 years old. He was in debt. He was depressed. He had tried composing music over and over again, but to no avail. Finally, he got a hold of some music and compose what we call the Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus. You know that? You sing it. We sing it around Christmas time. And so he finally, being depressed, being in debt, and God brought that great song, the Hallelujah Chorus, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. I love the book of Revelation, chapter 19. John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And you know, in chapter 19, after the church is going to be raptured up in heaven, and then the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb, chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. You know what John said? John says, there's going to be a wedding here on earth. And he says, all heaven's going to rise up and say, Hallelujah! 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 The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. That's what's going to be the song in heaven. Hallelujah! Say it with me. Hallelujah! One more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the word hallel means. So, wait a minute. I got to stop. If I'm going to say hallelujah just because you say hallelujah, then it might not really mean as much to me. But if God moves on my heart to say hallelujah, I need to say hallelujah. Just because you're saying hallelujah doesn't mean that I need to say hallelujah. Or just because I'm not saying hallelujah doesn't mean you shouldn't say hallelujah. There should be freedom and liberty when we worship God. We should not be restricted or controlled by anybody around us. You ought and I ought to worship God because he is God and there is none else like him. I'll tell you what, beloved, and I'm just as the same category as anybody else. But I have a tendency to come to church and just sit there and tired and, you know, just really not give God praise and glory. I do too. I mean, I do. And you know, different people are different ways, but every once in a while, I've got to stop and say, why am I going to church, period? Am I really worshiping God? Talk to me. When I leave, is God saying, son, you really worship me today? And I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm not talking about being the center of attention. I'm not talking about all that that draws attention to ourselves. I'm talking about worshiping God. Hallel! Hallelujah! And then yada. You know what that word yada means? It means giving thanks to God. How many today could stand up and lift up your hands, extending your arms? This is Bible, brother. This is Bible, sister. You say, but my tradition, I never did do that kind of stuff when I was growing up. Well, you need to change what you're doing, and you need to start doing what the Bible says. Amen. Tradition of just cause mama didn't lift her hand or whatever, and if you don't feel led to lift your hand, don't do it. But I want to tell you, it's in the Bible. I'll never forget one lady told me one time, I'd love this dear lady. She said, pastor, and you know, we get hung up on all kind of stuff, don't we? She said, pastor, I don't think we ought to be clapping in church. And I said, I appreciate you telling me that. She was totally opposed to clapping in church. I said, if I showed you in the Bible says clap your hands, all you people, would you believe me? She said, well, I guess I would. I said, turn to Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you people. She said, pastor, I never knew it was in the Bible. She said, I don't have a problem with it now. What we do, whether we eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. So, yada, yada. You know what Paul said? Paul put it this way. I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without doubt, without wrath. That's in the Bible, 1 Timothy 2:8. I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. When I read that, I thought, dear God, I remember as a young Christian seeing people do different things, and I wondered, Lord, I don't want to do that just because they're doing it. But then when you read in the scripture what the Bible says, Lord, this is your word. Look at this. Barak, to kneel or bow. Come, let us worship and bow down. I've already talked about that a little bit. Now then, what about this other word, tehillah? It means to sing or praise the Lord. What about these other words? Seven Hebrew words. You want to pattern your life to see if you're really worshiping God? Pattern after what the Bible teaches. The word zimar, Garrett, zimar, a stringed instrument. No wonder David, play on your harp, little David, play on your harp. That was a form of worship, stringed instruments. Tada, tada, the blessings. And offering praise to God, extending your hands, offering praise to God. Shabbat, to shout. Shabbat, shout. Hey, are you going to worship God today as we come to the Lord's table? Are we going to worship God really in spirit and truth? And by the way, the Greek word is proskuno. It's to prostrate one's feet down. Really, what is worship? God lines it up. Are we really worshiping God? Well, I'm worshiping God in my intellect. Oh, are we really? But are we letting our whole heart go out to God? There's a second thought. Will you come to the table, number one, and worship Jesus? That's what Paul said. He said, do this in remembrance of me, quoting Jesus. Are you going to worship God today when we get around the table? Number two. When we leave and have the privilege of gathering around the table, are we going to not only worship the Lord? Number two, will we witness about Jesus? Look what the Lord said through Paul. He said, you do show the Lord's death until he come again. And that's what we ought to do after we gather right here for worship. We scatter for witness, gather for worship, 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 scatter for witness. Say that with me. Gather for worship, scatter for witness. One more time. Gather. That's what the Lord says we ought to do. Scatter for witness. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. And the Lord spoke to my heart about this. Two parts, witness. Number one, are we going to win those who are losing? How many know there is a world out there right now that's losing? They're losing. They're losing. They're losing. Are we going to win those that are losing? Why aren't we going to win those that are losing? How many know there's a lot of people today that are oppressed? There's a lot of people today that have no hope. They are hopeless and discouraged. Hopeless and discouraged. I had the privilege of preaching last Sunday morning at Ringo at Boynton Baptist Church. By the time the afternoon rolled around, Pastor Keith and I were together. He said, I just got a call. A young 26-year-old young man, watch this, who played in a Christian group at a church right down the road from where we were at. They found him dead at the bottom of the steps at his house. 26 years old. Last Sunday, we went to the funeral home on Wednesday. I won't go into all the details. They were preparing his body at that time. They'd done an autopsy on him. And evidently, it's not confidential news. The young man was depressed, playing in a Christian band. I'm not criticizing, I'm telling you. And evidently, he had some sleeping pills and stuff that he took. And he took too many. And he died. I'm talking about winning those that are losing. Winning those that, how many believe there's people losing right here in our community? Are we going to win them? Are we going to win them? Are we going to win them? Are we determined to win them? Are we? Yes. 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 Yes, yes, we're going to win them. And the church said, we're going to do it because God told us to do it. They're losing out there. They're losing. Wait a minute. I got a call 2 weeks ago from a man in our community, 73 years old. I sat down with him in his living room. He said, Pastor, I'm depressed. I said, why are you depressed? He said, I'm on all kind of medicine. I've just had heart problems. He said, in addition, I've got some physical issues I'm dealing with. And here's what he said. Listen to me, man. That's what I hear a lot. Y'all hear it too. He said, I just can't do what I once could do. And I'm discouraged and I'm depressed. I hear this quite often from a lot of us men. How many know we can't do what we once could do? I say this, and maybe there's somebody you today that's discouraged. You say, man, I can't do what I once could do. You know where I'm going with this. You've heard it a million times. What am I going to say? Just do what you can. Say it with me. Just do what you can. Don't worry about what you can't do. Just do what you can. You know what I told that man? What would you tell that man? I did the best I could to try to pray with him and encourage him. That's all I could do. I told him what God was up to. He said he was a Christian. That's all we can do. We have got to win those that are losing. God, help us to get on the trail of those that are losing and help them to win, because thank God Jesus is a winner. Amen. And amen and amen. Number one, will you come to the table and worship the Lord? Number two, will you leave the table and witness about Jesus? Notice he said, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Then number three, and I'll be done, will you listen to the Lord's warning at his table? We read that in verse 28, didn't we? Look what he said. Serious business here. Look at it. Let a man examine himself. This is before coming to the Lord's table. Let a man examine himself. Question, are you going to examine yourself today before you come to the Lord's table? We better. Why? Because the Lord says there's some that come to the table and they're just not, heart's not right and their mind's not right and they're sick and they're weak and some fall asleep. I think that's a bad situation there. Sometimes we don't really think it out loud, but sometimes I think we think. We don't really mean to do this. I understand. I'm preaching myself today. We think we can hide from God, don't we? We do. We think we can hide from God. Can I tell you something happened to me recently? I was walking back behind my house, and there's a creek back there. And in this creek, I saw a great big turtle. He's about that big. I saw his head sticking out of the water. He's about that big around. And when I walked by the creek, I could see his head sticking out of the water. I walked by him, and when he saw me, he ducked up under the water, swam down to the bottom. It's only about 2 feet deep, and it's clear. He swam down to the bottom and looked up as if he was hiding from me. I started saying, I can see you down there. You're not hiding from me. And you know what I thought about? I thought about, isn't that like us with the Lord? We just want to swim away and hide in the dirt, thank you God don't see us or know about us. And so the Lord says, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. As we come to the Lord's table today, are we going to worship Jesus? Are we going to worship the Lord, Hallel, Yada, Barak, Tahila, Tara, Samar, Shabbat? Are we going to worship the Lord? Proskuno. Secondly, when we leave today, the church, are we going to witness? And thirdly, are we going to take the Lord's warning as we gather around the table? Examine yourself as we come around the Lord's table. And I wonder right now, as we get ready to prepare our hearts to gather around the Lord's table, I wonder right now, the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. You do show the Lord's death until he comes. Until he come. One more time, say it with me. Until he come. Do you know that was the very phrase the Lord birthed in my heart to start New Rocky Creek Baptist Church radio ministry? That was it. Until he comes. You look at the brochure. As we thought and prayed, God, what would you have us to do as a theme, as a whatever you call it, you know, until that day, radio ministry, New Rocky Creek. And I'll say to this, and God knows my heart, and we need to continue to pray about that. Do you know, have I told you lately, God's opened doors. We're on the radio every Sunday at WDYN in Chattanooga, Tennessee, every Sunday, from 12 o'clock to 12:30 in Chattanooga, Tennessee, as well as Jackson, Georgia, WJGA. Had a generous person to say, I'll donate the money and get us on started. We've been there, to God be the glory, since November, WDYN. But every Sunday from 1 to 1:30 in Jackson, Georgia, WJGA. What a blessing. I want to just praise the Lord. I'm sorry. I want to praise the Lord. Woo! Glory! Glory, Lord! We'll never know what God is doing as outside the four walls of the church, but he is going to honor his word. If our men please, Brother Ralph, Brother Kenneth, Brother David would come. Let's prepare our hearts as we gather around the Lord's table. And as they're coming, and Nancy and Garrett, let's be